Thank you, Mike. Now we go back to the news, and here is Mike Hutchinson.
The furore over parking charges was not the only health-related story this week. Two Norwich COVID testing centres closed this week, and an evening news reporter provided a personal account of what it was like to be a volunteer at a test centre. A university virus expert says the benefits of COVID isolation are waning. The hospitals remain under stress and have been experiencing a pillow shortage. However, new software to predict demand on A&E services will start to make life easier. Here's Rosemary with the first of two stories about the closure of the COVID testing sites.
Norwich MPs Chloe Smith and Clive Lewis have offered their thanks to staff and volunteers who worked in the COVID testing centres during the pandemic. The two city centres at Postwick and off the Ring Road near the former Toys R Us site will close for a final time. Chloe Smith, Norwich North MP, said, "Testing was critical in the thick of the pandemic. Without the amazing staff and volunteers who help run the test centres, we would not have successfully come through the pandemic. We are able to move on and aim to live with COVID now, so thank you all who help with testing." Clive Lewis, the Norwich South MP, added, "Thanks to the volunteers and, of course, to staff too. This pandemic has reminded us of why our NHS and its principles of fairness and universality are at the core of who we are as a country."
As the testing clinics close in Norwich, Evening News reporter Maya Derrick looks back on her time as a volunteer. She said, "The events of the past 2 years have changed each and every one of our lives. But there's one part of my pandemic experience that, although exhausting, I cherish and look back with huge fondness. In January 2021, I was a trainee journalist working full-time from home, away from the busy hubbub of a once lively newsroom. Like many, I was fatigued by the working from home lifestyle, and although journalists are considered key workers in the height of the pandemic, I felt it was my duty to do some more. With some extra time and very little to do, I was eager to make a difference and help the pandemic effort at a time where many felt helpless. But what I didn't realise is how bobbing down to the local vaccination centre would change my life. Each week I would trundle down to the clinic at my doctor's surgery before sunrise to set up for a busy day of helping many of those most at risk in the community. Those coming through our doors were initially the over 80s, but then it became clinically and extremely vulnerable as well as young people with compromised immune systems and those with severe allergies who couldn't go to the mass vaccination centre. What initially blew my mind was seeing people in real life in a period where social distancing was still the norm, and I couldn't see my friends and extended family face to face. I have to get close to strangers to check them before handing them to the clinician who gave them a dose of potentially life-saving vaccine. During an average four-hour and very fast-paced session, we could easily see around 1,000 people, and these were people who were most at risk of serious complications to the virus. I volunteered for 4 months, and it was easily one of the most rewarding yet challenging periods of my life. By the time the clinic closed its doors in June, after 6 months of operation, tens of thousands of patients had passed through our doors for two doses of COVID vaccine.
The benefits of COVID-19 isolation are starting to wane amid changes in testing, a leading virus expert has said. Paul Hunter, an expert in virology from the University of East Anglia's School of Medicine, has said that changes to the amount of testing in the community will limit the benefits of full periods of self-isolation. He said this was due to the fact that far fewer positive tests were now being detected than earlier in the pandemic. He said, "In the middle of March, we were probably picking up around one in every seven infections. This means that six out of seven people with COVID would not have realised they had it, or were infectious, and so were out in the community."
Patients at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital have resorted to using rolled-up blankets for pillows because of a shortage. Among those affected is Stephen Skipper, who was admitted to the site's acute medical unit. The 70-year-old was told by staff that no pillows were available, with other patients on the same ward also left without the items. Instead, Mr. Skipper had had to make do with a makeshift pillow made of folded blankets. He did not receive a pillow until he was transferred to the Kimberley ward the following day. His daughter, Lisa Skipper, said the shortage seemed ludicrous. "He called me to tell me he didn't have a pillow and that there were several on his ward like that," she said. "A nurse said it was like that across the hospital regularly. I think it's a bit ludicrous." She said her father had been frustrated and left uncomfortable, but was relieved to have been moved to a ward where a proper pillow was provided. Pillow shortages have previously been reported at other hospitals, with nurses complaining that it makes it difficult to ensure that elderly and frail patients are comfortable. On other occasions, visitors have taken pillows into the hospitals for use by friends and relatives. However, this can create problems, as the hospital officials say that the items must be compliant with health and safety regulations.
Artificial intelligence software, which can predict A&E admissions 3 weeks in advance, is to be introduced at the Norwich and Norfolk Hospital in a bid to cut backlogs. The technology uses data on subjects like local COVID and flu rates and calls to the NHS 111 service to forecast how busy accident departments will become. It's being rolled out to 100 hospitals in England, including the N&N. NHS bosses hope the technology will help tackle record waiting lists by allowing trusts to prepare for quieter or busier days. By getting predictions far in advance, managers can allocate resources accordingly, for instance, by freeing up beds when demand is expected to be high and prioritising elective care in quieter periods. The software looks at various factors to work out how many people will show up at A&E each day. It also takes into account public holidays when emergencies are more likely to occur. In the future, it's hoped the system will also be able to look at other data sources, such as the weather, with factors like extreme heat linked to strokes. It comes at a time when growing demand, limited capacity, staff shortages, and COVID safety measures have all taken their toll on emergency departments.
Well, that's it for part one of Chatterbox this week. Your readers were Rosemary Scott and myself, Mike Hutchinson. Part two will follow immediately with Information Desk, two more sets of news, and a second feature which will particularly appeal to Archers fans.